All right. Well, it's an honor to be here. I can only thank my Lord and Savior for giving me this opportunity, and I also thank Ronnie for asking Josh and myself to speak here. And when he asked us, he hadn't even heard us speak before, so that takes a lot of courage, and I know you're led by the Spirit to do that. So I'm doing a study right now through the Epistle of James on Pal Talk, and I'm in the rotation on Tuesday nights, and there's, there's maybe eight of us, and so I've given three studies so far, and going through the first chapter of James, James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man who endureth trials, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to them that love him." Well, recently I've been looking at the Greek quite a bit, and that word tried is the Greek word dokimos. And it has the idea of being approved. It's the same word translated approved in 2 Timothy 2:15. And if everybody does want to open their Bibles to the second chapter of 2 Timothy, because that's where I'm going to be pretty much the whole time, every verse that I want to go over is going to be up here on this PowerPoint slide. So I looked at this word dokimos, and I want to just sort of, hopefully I can get through all the material that I have. I want to tell you what dokimos, this word, means, and how does it apply to us as members of his body. First of all, I should say it's approved unto God, not man. And that applies as we're studying through his precious truth, and it applies to our walk. If we are trying to please those around us, we're erring in the truth. So that's first and foremost. And there's a couple of verses, 1 Samuel 16:7 and Colossians 3:23, that sort of capture why we're supposed to show our approval unto God and not man. 1 Samuel 6:17 says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance," and this is referring to King Saul, "look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." So man can't look at our hearts. That's why we cannot show our approval unto man. And then, of course, Colossians 3:23, which pertains to our calling. "And whatsoever ye do," Paul says, "do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men." The meaning of approved in 2 Timothy 2:15, the Greek word dokimos. Dokimos is translated six times approved, and it's translated one time tried, and that's in James 1:12. Dokimos is the adjective, and there's two other words. These three words on the screen up here all come from the same root word. Dokimos is an adjective, and it can mean accepted, particularly of coins and money. And I'll get to that in a second. Dokimazo is a verb, and it's translated in the King James Version, prove, try, approve, discern, allow, like, and examine. And again, it has the idea of testing, examining, proving, or scrutinizing to see whether a thing is genuine or not. And then dokimi, which is a noun, and it is translated proof, experience, or trial, and also experiment. And as the proof of genuineness or evidence. And evidence is important in this definition of this word. There's when I was searching online, I came across a comment by a gentleman by the name of William Bates. I don't know too much about him, but he wrote this short paper, I believe in the year 1905, and it's titled Castaway. And I just want to read what he said. I found it very interesting as pertaining to what the meaning of this word dokimos is. He says, and I quote, "The adjective dokimos, coming from the verb dokimazo, which in classical Greek is the technical word for putting money to the proof. That which endures the test is dokimos, approved, accepted. Here, say, are two coins just from the die in the stamp room of the mint. They go to the tester. One stands every test. It is dokimos. It is proved and approved. And it is passed out into the world's marts to do its work in the realm of commerce. The other is just a trifle short weight or has some other defect. It is a dokimos, or castaway. And Paul uses this word a dokimos in Corinthians. And in the King James Version, it's translated castaway. And I'll get to that in a little bit. Disapproved, rejected as a coin of commerce. It is a coin, however. It is not counterfeit. It simply is not fit for use. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul talks about being a vessel unto honor and being a vessel unto dishonor. And if we're a vessel unto honor, we are fit and meet for the master's use. And that's what I think William Bates potentially was getting at. And in Corinthians there, where Paul uses that word adokimos, which is translated castaway, he's talking about a race and he's talking about a crown. Though in a prior dispensation, but those are the things he's talking about because that's doctrinal truth and that runs eternally true throughout the scriptures, in my opinion. The usage of dokimos in the Greek Septuagint, again, this is something that I recently discovered. I've emailed Mike here a few times on the Septuagint, and I don't know how accurate it is, but it's basically the Old Testament Hebrew translated in Greek. So we can refer back to the Old Testament, referring to certain Greek words that are used in the New Testament to see how they were actually translated from the Hebrew into the Greek in the Old Testament. And I have a couple of verses up here that sort of give the idea of what this word dokimos means. Genesis 23:16 says, "And Abraham hearkened unto Ephron, and Abraham weighed," or think tested, "to Ephron the silver, which he had named in the audience of the sons of Heth 400 shekels of silver, current money with the merchant." Approved money, proved money, money that stood the test because it was weighed. And 1 Chronicles 28:18 says, "And the altar of incense refined gold." Again, think of being proved and tested, gold that is refined by weight, "and gold for the pattern of the chariot of the cherubims that spread out their wings and covered the ark of the covenant of the Lord." And the reason why evidence is very important, Abraham's a perfect example. Abraham had to prove his faithfulness to the Lord. The Lord tested Abraham's faith. And it didn't still exempt Abraham from having to prove his faithfulness to the Lord. And when I read Genesis 22:12, it tells me that he did have to prove his faith to the Lord. Because the angel of the Lord said, "Now I know," and then "seen." And that was with regards to not withholding his only son, Isaac, upon the altar. Next, I mentioned a race and a crown. I believe our approval as members of the body of Christ is based upon rewards. Philippians, I'm actually getting ahead of myself. 2 Timothy 4:8, and I want to take this out of context, as I mentioned, out of 2 Timothy, really all of Paul's prison ministry, but 2 Timothy 4:8 says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing," or that love his epiphaneia. Also in 2 Timothy 2:5, "And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully." And there's that word crowned. This next verse, 2 Timothy 2:10, I've thought long and hard about it, and I have the Amplified Version up here because I really liked the way that it explained. How do I word this? I like the way it sounded because, and I'll read what the King James Version says. The King James Version says, Paul says, I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal or age-abiding glory. So one question I'd like to ask everybody is, this salvation that Paul is talking about in this verse, 2 Timothy 2:10, initial salvation, in the sense of being initially justified. And I want to read the Amplified version here. Therefore, I am ready to persevere and stand my ground with patience and endure everything for the sake of the elect, God's chosen, so that they too may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with the reward of eternal glory. And I added age-abiding glory there, because if you look at that word in the Greek, it does have the meaning of age-abiding. Continuing to touch upon the point of our approval being based upon rewards, we all know this verse, Philippians 3:14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The word mark there means a goal or an end one that somebody has in view. And of course, Colossians 3:24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Not the inheritance, but the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So we know that with our hope and calling, that there is a reward associated with our inheritance. And to go back to a prior dispensation or dispensations, I mentioned that word adokimos that Paul uses, and it's 1 Corinthians 9. And if we perhaps translate it disapproved or disqualified, it might make more sense when we're reading it in the context of how it's presented, how Paul lays it out. And then, of course, James 1:12 is where I first came upon this word, and it's translated tried there. And we could also read that one as approved. And then it talks about a crown of life. Here are those verses. 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so that ye may obtain. And then skipping a couple verses, in verse 27, he says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should not be a castaway, adokimos, disapproved or disqualified. I don't know what the meaning of castaway had in the Old English, but certainly at least when I think of the word castaway, I think of somebody who's sort of just lost, and that's not the meaning of the word. In James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried or approved, he shall receive the crown of life. I believe the crown of life is a reward for those who adhered to his truth during that dispensation. And he was talking to the 12 tribes scattered when he wrote that epistle, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And who is the him? Well, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the word and he is truth. So truth is always at stake here. Also, our approval concerns our state, I believe, and not our standing so much. 2 Timothy 2:20, as I mentioned, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to dishonor, and some to honor. Dishonor, if you look at that word in the Greek, it has the idea of common or ordinary use, not somebody who's cast away. Certainly, both of these vessels are believers. Ephesians 1:6, and these next two verses get at what is our standing in Christ. Ephesians 1:6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That can't change. When we're a body member, I don't believe that we can lose that inheritance. Our standing is as sure as him who put us there. Colossians 2:10, also referring to our standing. And ye are complete in him. I believe that word complete is the word pleroma, meaning we are full in him, filled to the full in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, these next couple of verses talk about our state. Again, Corinthians, referring to a prior dispensation, but doctrinal truth in my opinion. 2 Corinthians 5:10, Paul says, "For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense." And this is the New Revised Standard Version, NRS. So, "For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil." And the reason why I use this translation here is because in the King James it says bad. And that Greek word is overwhelmingly translated evil. In other words, we as believers are capable of doing evil. And I prefer that definition, or that translation. Colossians 3:25. But he that doeth wrong, Paul says, shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. I think of Alexander the coppersmith. It says in 2 Timothy that he withstood Paul's words. In other words, he withstood Paul's ministry. And that may have also been true of Demas, who forsook Paul, having loved this present world. I believe enduring is certainly at stake concerning our approval. And 2 Timothy 2:12 says, "If we suffer," and this word "suffer" has the meaning of enduring, and it's the Greek word hupomeno. So if we suffer, or if we endure, Paul says, "We shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us." And this word, in addition to having the meaning of enduring, it also is translated patience in James 5:11. James says, "Have you heard of the patience of Job?" That's the same word there. And of course, James 1:12, "Blessed is the man who endures hupomeno trials." So that's that word suffer in 2 Timothy. So there is a connection with all these words. I do believe enduring and reigning in verse 12 have the truth of the mystery in view. It has the truth of Paul's new message that he preached to those who would receive it after Acts 20, when Israel as a nation was set aside. And I only say that because 2 Timothy 2:15, rightly dividing, it's not rightly dividing our conduct or our service, but if it's rightly dividing the word of truth. And we can't come to this truth unless we first start in right division. And I believe it's paramount. It's very important to walking a worthy walk in the context of how Paul refers to that walk. What is worthy about it? Well, it's worthy because we've first gone through right division and had the eyes of our understanding enlightened as to the truth of the mystery. How do we endure? Well, Paul tells us, 2 Timothy again here, 2:5, and I've got two translations here. King James says, "And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully." Well, striving lawfully has the same idea of competing according to the rules. How do we compete according to the rules or strive lawfully? Well, by his instructions, of course, and they have the reward if we walk in them. And I absolutely love this verse in Psalm 19:9-11. It's the American Standard Version because it uses ordinances rather than judgments, and that's why I liked it, because I believe ordinances, his statutes, are being talked about here. And it says, "The fear of Jehovah is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of Jehovah are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the droppings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." And I believe there's a direct correlation from the Old Testament and Psalms and all the way to Colossians 3, 23 through 24. Paul says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. Same idea as keeping it, keeping them, keeping God's instructions. Do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for he served the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. I believe that we have to acknowledge his truth first. Truth is always at stake. We acknowledge his truth first. After we acknowledge his truth, then we can walk in his truth. So which instructions? It's kind of a rhetorical question, but which instructions or rules do we follow after? Well, those that contain the instructions about our hope and calling. And we know that Paul's prison ministry, his message takes us to a time period before the overthrow, before the foundation of the world. But we mustn't forget 2 Timothy 3:16. That gives me the authority to teach through any part of Scripture that I want to. I'm so very happy that I chose to teach through James, because I can teach through James and I can teach through it doctrinally. And when I get to those dispensational matters, I can discuss those dispensational matters, because there is certainly dispensational matters within that epistle that James wrote. But nonetheless, it's a wonderful thing to be able to teach through the Scriptures doctrinally. And it's because of teaching through James that sort of led me to a study on this particular word. Some verses that talk about being chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4, chosen in him before the foundation or before the overthrow of the world. 2 Timothy 1:19, I like the Darby translation here, because he doesn't use the word eternal. He says the ages of time. And that's the Scriptures. The Bible itself talks about the ages of the time. He doesn't talk. We don't know what happened before Genesis 1:1. And we don't know what's going to happen after the new earth. Ephesians 1:4 shows in him before the overthrow. 2 Timothy 1:9, Darby says, according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages of time. And then Titus 1:2, again, Darby translation, promised before the ages of time. As I mentioned, our approval is based upon, I liked how Charles Welch worded it, the root of all of our ministry is right division. If it weren't for right division, none of us would be here today. We'd be at some other Bible conference not rightly dividing the word of truth. We'd be wrongly dividing the word of truth. As many of you probably know, rightly dividing is the Greek word. I think Barney just recently talked about it in one of his studies, orthotomeo. If I went to the Septuagint, the Greek Septuagint, and it's actually used in Proverbs 3:6, and in the margin in the Companion Bible, Bollinger uses, it says rightly divide there. And Proverbs 3:6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct, or he shall rightly divide thy paths. So we have to acknowledge him and acknowledge his truth first, and then he'll direct our paths. In the Freeburg Lexicon, thanks Mike for that suggestion of getting that Freeburg Lexicon, I like it a lot. Orthotomeo, the definition in that lexicon says, literally, as cutting a straight road through difficult terrain, make a straight path, or figuratively in the New Testament, with reference to correctly following and teaching God's message, hold to a straight course, and I like this part, teach accurately. We can't teach the word accurately unless we're rightly dividing the word of truth. And I had to quote Oscar Baker here. He says, we cut with a view to dividing the word straight, implying it done right. And I liked that a lot when I read that, and I had to include that here. You might ask, how do we rightly divide the word of truth? Well, I think first and foremost, we have to be a workman. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word workman, that Greek word is translated laborer in 1 Timothy 5:18. So studying through the Word is not easy. At least for me, it doesn't come easy. It's hard work. You have to labor through the Word of God. And we also have to be busy laboring in the Word of God. And that's this. The word study in 2 Timothy 2:15 has the idea of making haste, being busy. And I read in Jack Eberle's Interlinear Prison Epistle, as you said, be busy in the Word of God, but not aimlessly. So I loved it, because anybody can be busy in the Word, but you have to treat the Scriptures accurately. You have to handle them with care. And certainly that applies to our walk. Paul says we walk circumspectly, or we walk very carefully as we go through this life. We walk very accurately. And why? Well, we're supposed to redeem. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. When Paul uses that word redeeming, he means making the best use of our time. So, if we're not in the Word, in my humblest opinion, we're not making best use of our time. Because we are without excuse, I believe. Well, what's the job of a workman? Well, this is getting back to Philippians now. Philippians 1:10. I believe the job of a workman is to test. Dokimos, dokimazo, dokimi. To test, prove, examine, discern the things that differ. Or approve, dokimazo, the things that are excellent. That we may be sincere, and this is why we should do it. That we may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And we've got to be very carefully. We have to be very careful about it, because we certainly, if we do something that we're not supposed to do in the eyes of the world, we could lose our credibility, and that's why it's very important. Though I believe the testing what differs is certainly synonymous with rightly dividing the word of truth. We're not to be ashamed. Well, ashamed of what? Well, 2 Timothy 1:8, Paul says, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. I believe these both go hand in hand, but the testimony of me, his prisoner, refers to a calling that goes back before the ages began. Our approval is dependent on us not being ashamed. To touch upon this a little bit further, I wanted to talk a little bit about this good deposit that's translated in 2 Timothy. Certainly it's associated with a chain in my mind. 2 Timothy 1:16, Paul says, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. I believe this chain, Paul's prison chains, are referring to this good deposit, the truth of the mystery. I use the NIV here. I just like the way that it explained this verse to me. These couple of verses, 2 Timothy 1:14 and 15, says in the NIV, guard, and I believe it's the only translation that actually uses the two words, good deposit here. But guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. Also, being rooted and grounded in love, I believe. Being rooted and grounded in love is necessary for our approval. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, it says, by faith. And we know that faith cometh by hearing the word of God. That ye being rooted and grounded in love. And then it goes on to say, to comprehend with all the saints. And then he says, breadth, length, depth, height. In my mind, this is just spiritual wisdom. He's talking four dimensions here. I think rooted and grounded in Christ's love is certainly dependent on our spiritual insight into His love for us. Because He's at the center of all this, and it's all about His love for us. Ephesians 1:5, the Revised Standard Version says, and the Revised Standard Version puts in love in this verse, which the other translations do not, but it says, He destined us in love. He destined us before the ages began in love, in pure love. to be his adopted sons, to be his sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. Not man's will, but his will. And that is the beautiful thing about that. I believe the only way to know his love and to gain a true and complete acknowledgement of his love is to read his word rightly divided. We've got to be a workman, as I mentioned. We have to test the things that differ. And testing the things that differ apply to our journey through the word of truth. And it also applies to now our walk as we go out into the world. Only through his word. Only through his word, because his word is what tests us. His word will also test us and prove us, just as it did Abraham. Only through his word can we prove or dokimazo what is acceptable to the Lord, Paul says in Ephesians 5:10. And without the word of truth, we cannot grow because the word tests us. And it's the word that gives us that spiritual perception. And finally, Philippians 1:9, that you may approve the things. I'm trying to think of that verse. I don't have it in front of me. The word judgment, I believe, in Philippians 1:9. The word judgment means discernment. It means spiritual perception. And it says that your love may abound. In other words, your love may overflow. It may exceed. How? In precise and correct knowledge and spiritual discernment. In the King James, I believe it says in all knowledge and judgment. Judgment meaning discernment, perception. What's the root of our ministry? It's right division. Right division helps us be able to come to an acknowledgement of the Son of God and his exaltation far above all the heavens. And that Greek word there is epigenosis. It's precise and correct knowledge. And that leads us to spiritual perception. And all the while, if we follow this, love will abound more and more. And then with our spiritual senses exercised, we can then begin to prove what's worthy to him. We can walk a worthy walk. We can show ourselves dokimos, approved unto him. I don't know how I'm doing on time. I didn't realize I'd get through all this, but I felt like I was pretty efficient. But that's my study. I appreciate your attention, and I love all of you.